chapter 2, excuse me, Canto 2, chapter 3, text number 22. And in this section, it's Shukadev Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit in an address to his question, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? Of course, Maharaj Parikshit knew he had 7 days, and as we well know, who knows? 7 minutes? 7 seconds? 7 years? 70 years? Who knows? At any moment it can take place. So to prepare yourself, there is some nice discussion here about deity worship. He glorifies devotional service, and then he does it in reverse. Those who neglect devotional service, how unfortunate. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock. And the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. Note, it's not complimenting the eyes and the legs that don't engage in devotional service. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport, his direct presentation about deity worship. Especially for householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram, especially, or any form of the Lord like Nrisimha Varaha, Gornatai, Matsya Kurma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayana, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions the natives are restless upstairs. Can something be done to, like, gag and bind them or something like that? Or at least, you know, tell the children to be a little quiet. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. Listen to this. Your seatbelts fastened?
Yes.
Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. And then listen to this one. And all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning 4 a.m. until night 10 p.m. by performing Mangalarti, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shringara, Bhoga, Vaikali, Sandhya Arati, Pandha Bhoga at night, Shayana Arati, etc. Close the schools, don't go to work, stay at home. Just do deity worship, 4 a.m. till 10 p.m. Om Tat Sat. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householder to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Now, did you think of deity worship as a way of rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Maybe studying Prabhupada's books is a way to make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. But deity worship? Rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Here's Prabhupada's explanation. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas Arjuna process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge. And that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. Then he says it conversely. One should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. Rather, one must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of his verses is, in that description reads, Shri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Shingara Tan Mandira Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktang Staniyam Jitopi Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Shri Vigraha is the archa, or suitable, worshipable forms of the Lord, and the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly. By, makes another list. Shringara, by proper decoration and dressing. As also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. So that's the explanation of how deity worship is not only practical, but it's practical, rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. One helps the other. We'll come back to that. Knowledge and worship. Next paragraph. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. Now you don't even need a radio. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple where all the above performances are regularly executed, visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. The devotee that did the indexing in the back under deity worship, it's inspiration. Deity worship, inspiration. So this is an occasion for honoring the worship of Gornatai in our home here. And Prabhupada has given some nice inspiring words about the importance of this deity worship. I'll just take some of the messages and present some other things that Prabhupada said about deity worship. That deity worship is practical, and scriptural study is theoretical, connects with the idea that the last verse of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, any of our younger devotees, like school age devotees, know that last verse, 6:47 Bhagavad Gita, of all forms of yoga, that devotional service is the best. Yoginam api sarvesham. Okay. Same yukta uttama mataha. Krishna has said in the sixth chapter, of all forms of elevating activity, yoga is definitely the best. And of all forms of yoga, shradhavan bhajate yo mam samayukta uttama mataha. The best form is of yoga is shradhavan bhajate yo mam, with faith, engaging in devotional service. There in the purport, the very beginning, Prabhupada explains that this word bhajate, or bhaj, it's the root word of bhakti. And bhakti doesn't just mean some sentiment, it means practical. Practical activity. Practical activity means where the senses are in contact with sense objects, in the mood of doing some service for the senses of the Supreme Lord, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. There's feeling or sentiment involved, but bhakti is not a mere sentiment. Bhakti doesn't mean a bunch of sentimental people going around being sentimental. Bhakti means practical activity, and the beginning of one of the beginning stages of practical activity, of course, the very beginning is hearing and chanting. That's also practical. But the practical application of that understanding comes in the form of deity worship. And so, commonly, as Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness, and in the beginning, and similarly how we introduce Krishna consciousness to others, the beginning is through the process of hearing and chanting, which means purification of our consciousness, chaita dharpana marjanam. And as that consciousness becomes cleansed, then further purification through the practical activity of bringing the senses to the sense objects. And so if the sense object is the deity form, elsewhere in this second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada describes that one of the practical outcomes of deity worship is, especially in grihastha life where there's attraction for form, and apply that attraction for form to the form of the deity. And by contacting, through seeing, through touching, through offering various articles, that appreciation becomes spiritualized. That attraction becomes spiritualized. So, of the two processes, they're like parallel. First comes hearing and chanting. Following in a parallel way is the Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatriki Vidhi. Bhagavat Vidhi is our hearing and chanting, as in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name. And the other forms of hearing and chanting, Hari Katha, Krishna Katha, Bhagavat Katha. And over here is the archana process. That's the procedures for it are in the Narada Pancharatra or Pancharatriki Vidhi, the regulations of deity worship. And they complement one another very nicely. As he's described in the purport, there's theoretical understanding and then practical application of that. And what consciousness should we be in when we're approaching the deity? Well, consciousness needs some cleansing before we begin deity worship through the hearing and chanting process to help qualify us to approach the deity in the proper way without making offense, without some mere sentimentality, with a proper conception of who we are, what the deity form is, how we're to approach the Lord in his deity form, and so forth. So they go, one enhances the other. It's, and of the two, the hearing and chanting is most important. The hearing and chanting is pulling us forward. And the deity, but the deity worship, very nicely expressed here by Srila Prabhupada, it helps us get practical realization of and practical purification of the senses and our conceptions of life. Proper conception comes from hearing and chanting, and we apply that in the process of deity worship. Deity worship serves many purposes in addition, also described here in the second canto of Bhagavatam. There's several sections where Prabhupada discusses deity worship. One of them is regulation. When one has deity in one's home, then the activities of one's life in grihastha ashram become more regulated. At least the opportunities for them become more regulated because everything revolves around the deity. Supposing there's some irregulating factor, and you can list a whole bunch of them that we've all experienced, especially in household life it happens, work-related, family-related, health-related, something-related, some festival that keeps you up really late, or some project you're working on, something that makes your schedule unregulated. Deity worship helps very quickly, just in principle, bring things back to regulation. I know a devotee that lived in temple for a long time as a brahmachari. And then as a young grihastha, he lived in a very simple situation in the temple ashram. And the support of the temple program really helped him. As you know, just every morning, it's Mangal Arti, same time. Doesn't matter what you did the previous day, every morning is Mangal Arti the same time. And so it regulates your rising early, getting up early, having Mangal Arti, chanting japa, going through the morning program. It's very strengthening. And when he stepped out of that situation, he found it very difficult because it's the regulating factor wasn't there. So something that helped him was he began his own home deity worship. And that regulation took a while to instill it, but regulation then helped him both in his sadhana and in his career and in his family life. The factor of regulation is the mode of goodness. Regulation is one of the components. Regulation in one's activities of life is a factor of goodness. And to worship the deity, one needs to be in this quality of goodness. There's one lecture. I wish I could find it again, but I had it, you know, one of those like audio cassettes, and I lost it. I listened to it maybe 50 times, where Prabhupada is describing his life as a grihastha in a very simple way, sharing what he did as a grihastha. So here's a little from my memory of hearing it 50 times, what he described. Prabhupada described that a householder should rise early in the morning. And the first thing is call out the name of their deity and their spiritual master and pay obeisances. I remember as a brahmachari that we paid obeisances to Prabhupada. That's the first thing. First thing. Your mind goes to your worshipable deity and your spiritual master. Obeisances, take a bath, make the outside clean, fresh cloth. Then make the inside clean. Go to the place where the deity is kept. Make some sound, because it's the deity's room. You don't just walk in. You make a sound, knock, ring a bell, some acknowledgement of your presence. Seek their permission, enter. And first thing, then make the altar clean. After making the altar, while reciting some regulated prayers for the pleasure of the Lord. And if all you have is pictures, same principle applies. And then you sit before the altar and perform your daily chanting.
and make an offering unto the Lord, your morning meal, take your meal, and off you go to perform your daily duty. Some hearing from the scriptures, I forgot, on a daily basis. Then, sometime during the day, take the fruits of one's earning and go to the marketplace and buy something for the deity, for the Lord. And make it very clean, make the cooking, preparing, making an offering, and take the remnants of the food that's offered to the deity. So in this way, Prabhupada described, very regulated, and one's whole life revolves around, and the whole family's life revolves around the deity form in the home. These are just some simple, elementary instructions, but perhaps very helpful to hear. One other thing is the relationship between, particularly within ISKCON, our deity worship at home and the deity worship in the temple. Deity worship at the home should not eclipse by any means the deity worship in the temple. Deity worship in the home is important. Its importance is being stressed here. But worship in the temple is where we got our Krishna consciousness, and we can't leave that which gave us Krishna consciousness for our deity worship in our home. That is to say, some simple standard of worship in the home is appropriate, and some worship of the deity in the temple is necessary for all members of ISKCON. There's some spawning of our Krishna consciousness that has come from that temple, the Sangha of devotees, the deity worship. So, considering all of those things, some service, regular service, should be done for the deity in the temple, or the temple activity that surrounds the deity in the temple, which is also service to the deity. And the worship in the home is something that is important for all the reasons Prabhupada mentioned here. The other things that I've said are also just points that Prabhupada has made. It's immediate within the home. And there's many homes are part of a community, and the community is serving the deity in the temple collectively. And the missionary purposes of that surround the temple and the temple activities. So the archana process is very fundamental. It's related to the hearing and chanting process. It's secondary at the same time. It's very important. Especially for the household ashram. In the case of the renounced order of life, certainly we find amongst the Goswamis, they didn't consider, we're not householders, so we don't have to worship. They also had deities, each of them. And they engaged others in that process of deity worship also. There was an occasion when our devotees would travel in vans and buses and things for distributing Prabhupada's books all over the country. And they asked Prabhupada this question, because you've given emphasis to deity worship, should we include deity worship in our buses and keep deity worship program? In some cases, he authorized that.
Advertisement for the stream.
Okay. But on other occasions, or at least in some occasions, Prabhupada said, let my books be your deities. You can keep my books as your altar and worship my books. You don't need deities. This is your deity. So I like that instruction very much. In fact, scripture describes that the value that one has, even just by keeping Srimad Bhagavatam on your shelf, doesn't even mention reading it, just keep it on your shelf and respect it. One gets enormous spiritual benefit. So there's spiritual benefit with having deity in your home also, but the practical worship is certainly important, and there are offenses to be avoided in the deity worship. They're found in nectar of devotion, and one should regard them carefully. So, there's some thoughts on deity worship. Hope it's been helpful. Where's our host? Okay.
The host.
Any thoughts you want to share with us here about your deity worship program?
We do intend to do it regularly in the morning. Follow all the principles in the true sense.
Okay.
We ask for your blessing so that we're able to do that. And we do thank Mother Sadhguru for gifting the deities to us. But even Prabhu and you meet here, make it right.
Hare Krishna. Okay, any discussion? Yeah.
I not to commit any offense, but I heard somebody say, "Oh, I would call a few people to my home, cook and offer to the deities, and offer the prasadam to everybody. If I go to the temple, I have to cook for more people." So I heard this actually somebody say. So it almost seems like a competition between the temple and home.
Okay, that's interesting. What am I supposed to say to that?
So
you're presenting a question?
My question.
You're making a complaint.
I said that. Maybe it's actually competing. So maybe I should not have a deity because then my services to the temple will go down.
Yeah, it's possible. What do you think?
I still think that way.
Uh-huh. Don't keep a deity because...
I mean, I have my traditional deities, not given to an initiating spiritual master.
Uh-huh.
The deities that I always...
Family tradition. It's handed down through the family.
Family tradition, yes. But not... I still have Krishna and Radha and everything else.
Yeah, I don't know what you're looking for. Looking for a comment or?
Looking for your reflection.
Am I on the left side, the right side, or the middle? Is that what you're looking for?
Is that okay? It is that danger.
Yeah, it is. A little more gently than you indicated. I indicated. When one accepts the deity, it shouldn't be at the neglect of the temple deity or. Say it more strongly, the temple deity should be worshipped by all, even whether you have a deity at home or not. And if accepting a deity doesn't mean now I begin neglecting the deity in the temple. I don't need the deity in the temple anymore, I have my own deity. Yadavar, maybe you can share some experiences. I heard some things like that happen at the LA temple, where there were householders not worshiping in the temple because they're worshiping in their home, and Prabhupada was very upset. And that's like, right across the street. They didn't walk across the street to help with the deity worship. And he made some statements. You recall those?
I remember those incidents. I don't remember the details. However, from what you just read in Prabhupada's suggestion of home worship, it's very intricate and elaborate. Also depends if you're living near a temple or not. That would be the standard, I would assume.
Well, let's take this nice Seattle community where people may not live. There are some devotees that live walking distance from the temple, and there are some devotees that live, 15 minutes from the temple and half an hour from the temple. So. With that diversity, my thought is, whether it's a walk away from the temple, it's a 10-minute drive from the temple, or a half an hour drive to the temple, some regular worship at the temple, whether you have a deity in your home or not, should be part of your program. You're part of the community. And that's like, not just like so it doesn't fall on other people kind of thing, but for your own spiritual upliftment. And it doesn't diminish the importance of what Prabhupada said here. It says, that's an important component of having a Krishna conscious community and those in the community making spiritual progress.
I support that. I think that the some of the devotees in Chapa who travel from hostel area, from the hostel area.
That's far.
Downtown.
Yeah, forget it. Bombay traffic, forget it.
But they do that. They get up. They get up early. Some come in the night before and spend the night. Uh-huh. Well, when you say regular for them, that means once a week.
Sure, once a week. Sure.
So that's exemplary.
Yeah.
But it is regular. It's once a week. So regular doesn't have to mean necessarily everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. You okay with that?
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
I heard in Vrindavan, some Maharaj.
You heard in Vrindavan, some Maharaj said.
And Devakinandan Prabhu was president, and he was giving lecture, and he walked in Brahmacharya Ashram. They had some duty, and their pujari also. Then he told the Prabhupada said that who lives around the temple of Brahmacharya Ashram, they will need duty. They can be a temple service. Because temple around those people live, they are always in the
I don't know. Maybe there is. I'm not aware of any specific instruction that, like this, Prabhupada said. I know of instruction that Prabhupada said about householders that live in Los Angeles community. And that's like right across the street. Similar. It's not Vrindavan, but Los Angeles. And he didn't say they shouldn't have deities. This is not brahmacharis, this is householders. They can have deities, but the deities should not be done at the neglect of the worship at the temple. So they should keep a simple, because it was getting very, very elaborate, and it should be simple in worship at the temple. Also, regularly, meaning, you know, like this, at least. But some persons were saying, apparently, oh, I don't have time. I've got my japa, and I've got my sadhana, and I've got my deity worship, and I have to go to work, and I have time. So keep it simple and do something at the temple, is the idea. Anything else? Okay. Yes?
You said when you get up in the morning, you first pray to the Prabhupada and then to your deity. Have you seen like when you just, it becomes a routine and you're not really into the prayer, but you just say, you know, or even in the temple you go.
Sure, there's all kinds of things we can do mechanically.
So how, what do you do to not fall into that?
Do it devotionally.
Many temples I've seen where you just go bow down, you said your prayer.
Sure, everything.
Then you remember, oops, I was in office, you know, like my mind was in office.
Sure, be present. Train yourself to be present. Everything is like that. Something that's new, it's exciting, you learn it, wow, and you're present. And then after some time, it's familiar and you become complacent. You become absent. Your mind is something else. So, be present. That's a simple way of saying there's a relationship with the spiritual master and relationship with your deity or Krishna. And so act in that relationship. Cultivate that relationship. Be present in that relationship. Impersonalism tendency is very strong. Mechanical is just another impersonal manifestation. I think we're ready for the deities to appear. Are the deities ready to appear? Okay. But so somebody want to grab the conch shell and start blowing the conch shell and we'll have aarti. So when the deities come we stand and then we'll have aarti. Huh? I don't know. Were you planning on having him? I'm going to do it there, okay? Yeah. This needs to disappear. The whole thing. Get plastic bags and take it all away. Give him some help, get a plastic bag and put stuff. Help. Just make this disappear.